ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Every year, Australians are told to fly abroad for cancer treatment.
We need this bloody machine.
Then, an exciting pitch.
A proton therapy centre, first of its kind in Australia.
But is it happening?
No one's raising $50 million on Facebook.
This bloody machine, a new investigation. Search Background Briefing Podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
According to Donald Trump, Pete Hegseth is doing a fantastic job overseeing the US military. But, well, that's not what the US Army Secretary thinks. He quit this week after months of tension with Hegseth, who's purged dozens of generals and admirals. Today, staff writer at The Atlantic, Missy Ryan, on whether Trump will really stick with the former Fox News host, or in the end sack him too, as turmoil grows at the Pentagon. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Missy, why don't we step back first of all so we can really get a true sense of the scale of the chaos Pete Hegseth has brought to the Pentagon. Now, he was nominated as Secretary of Defence by Donald Trump in November 2024. And he only scraped through, didn't he, in securing the job when the Senate voted. The Vice President, J.D. Vance, had to cast the deciding vote. Just remind me about that.
Sure. Well, first, I should say that I've covered 8 or 9 Secretaries of Defence, and Pete Hegseth is an order of magnitude different than anyone else who has held that job. He sort of came out of nowhere as a dark horse candidate that some people were aware of from his perch at Fox News as a weekend host. He's this sort of MAGA warrior, a true believer in Trump's cause. But then he was nominated, and as you say, he just barely scraped through, and he had to get the vice president to cast the tie-breaking vote. And it was a very ugly confirmation hearing that focused on these widespread allegations of heavy drinking, of mismanagement, and also of sexual assault. And he denied it all and sort of made it sound like it was a smear campaign.
Our left-wing media in America today, sadly, doesn't care about the truth. All they were out to do, Mr. Chairman, was to destroy me.
But ultimately, you know, Trump at that time was able to strong arm the Republicans into confirming him.
On this vote, the yeas are 50 and the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative and the nomination is confirmed.
And I think there are a lot of Republicans who regret those votes.
Oh, well, yes. When he was actually sworn in, Missy, he said he would restore the warrior ethos in the military.
And the three principles I talked about are what we will bring to that Pentagon. Restore the warrior ethos in everything that we do. Rebuild our military and reestablish deterrence. We don't want to fight wars and we want to end them responsibly. But if we need to fight them, we're going to bring overwhelming and decisive force to close with and destroy the enemy and bring our boys.
What on earth did he mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, this clearly was the most animating element of his approach to the military. That is, you know, his belief that the military had become too weak and too woke, as he would call it, and that it really just needed to man up and get more focused on the basics in terms of physical fitness, in terms of shooting, in terms of, you know, being tough. And he felt like those qualities and those skills that had sort of been diluted over time, and that is something that he's been trying to fix.
Frankly, it's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon. Simply put, if you do not meet the male-level physical standards for combat positions, cannot pass a PT test, or don't want to shave and look professional, it's time for a new position.
There are a lot of people in the military who don't object to tougher fitness standards, but I think a lot of them would say, and a lot of national security experts say, it's somewhat beside the point in a moment where the future battlefield is a digital one to a large extent, and where the skills of drone operators are going to be just as important as those of the people who are kicking down doors in the middle of the night.
Well, Missy, Donald Trump, he reckons that Pete Hegseth is doing a fabulous job so far. He was asked about reports that Hegseth could run for president in 2028.
Well, I think he's doing a fantastic job, but it's very early to talk about that. We have to get through the midterms first. And I think he's a very good guy, but I'll bet there's a lot of people considering it that you don't know about.
Trump seems to be a fan of Hegseth and his management of the Pentagon. I think he appreciates Hegseth's loyalty first and foremost, and Hegseth has been unfailingly loyal to Trump. No sort of pushback there, no hint of dissent on some of the more disruptive ideas that Trump has come up with. And Trump also appreciates that he's this scrapper. Like, he goes on the internet and picks fights with journalists or with politicians from the opposite party. His conduct in congressional hearings really has set a new bar for lack of decorum and respect.
Why don't you show some leadership and stand up for your fellow Democrats who won't fund the troops, who stand and play partisan politics while you don't give us the money? You have Trump derangement syndrome and can't actually commit to anything meaningful.
So I think that Trump appreciates those qualities, and I don't think that anyone in the White House takes Pete Hegseth seriously as a presidential candidate, but that doesn't mean that he won't, at some point, try to transition into electoral politics.
Well, Missy, let's now delve into the havoc that Pete Hegseth has created for the US military in a pretty short period of time. Now, he has been purging top officers and generals, and the latest casualty is Dan Driscoll. Now, he resigned. Just tell me what happened.
So Dan Driscoll was brought in at the beginning of the administration as a political ally and a close friend of Vice President J.D. Vance. They went to law school together, and he's a Republican. He also ran for Congress in North Carolina, just like Pete Hegseth at one point ran for a U.S. Senate seat in Minnesota, both unsuccessfully. So in some ways, they have similar backgrounds, both served in the Army, both became part of the larger Trump movement in different ways. But they just clash from the beginning. They have very different styles. They come from sort of different wings of the MAGA movement in terms of ideology. Vance and his allies being famously skeptical of foreign involvement and foreign wars, and I think Hegseth is less so. And I think most importantly, though, Hegseth viewed Driscoll as a rival, as a different power center within the Pentagon because of his relationship with Vance, and frankly, because of his popularity with members of Congress, with the media, with the private sector. And so they clashed over a number of different issues, especially personnel in the Army, which was a focus of Hegseth to get out generals that he viewed as insufficiently loyal to his agenda. And Driscoll kind of tried to slow roll that or block it in certain instances. And so ultimately, Driscoll is leaving and he's expected to go work on J.D. Vance's campaign. And I think here you see some hints of future political divisions within the MAGA movement, who's going to become the key players in the post-Trump Republican Party.
So Dan Driscoll, he was really concerned about the gutting of the upper echelons of the military. And according to your reporting, he told Trump about that, didn't he, before he walked out?
He did. He met with Trump early last week. And as he was informing Trump or submitting his resignation, he also conveyed some concerns about the effect of Hegseth's management on the Army, especially the firing of key generals, how that could stymie the modernization and this kind of transformation that they like to talk about into the different kind of 21st century warfare, how what Hegseth was doing would make that more difficult. And that was kind of his parting shot, his message going out the door.
Wow. Okay, so just tell me or remind us, Missy, then, before Driscoll's departure, who else had Hegseth got rid of at that point? Who's gone?
Yeah, I mean, so like half of the most senior generals in the army are gone. He fired, you know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, that's the most senior military officer when he came in, the chief of naval operations, you know, he got rid of different service secretaries. All told, it's dozens more than 50. I've seen estimates as high as 80 senior officers that he's either fired or kind of blocked their promotions. So it is really a generation of the up-and-coming leaders of the military who have been affected in different ways. And that's a big concern because that could go to the military's future leadership, not only because of these individual people, but also you think about how that affects the culture, whether or not people are going to start thinking that political expediency and political connections and loyalty is more important than competence and speaking truth to power.
And this, of course, all comes at a time when the U.S. is at war with Iran. It doesn't sound like a really good decision to be getting rid of all these rather senior military figures at a time like that.
No, I mean, the departure of someone like Dan Driscoll doesn't really affect the war in Iran. You know, he's not commanding troops. The services don't really play that role in the U.S. military. We have the combatant commander. But it's not good for morale. It doesn't send a good message to the world. And it does have these longer-term effects. And, you know, it just seems unnecessary. And there don't need to be additional reasons that the war in Iran is not going well. There are enough kind of inherent reasons to be worried about how that's going to go in the next few months.
Yeah, well, it's certainly not going well, that's for sure. And as we've seen this week, the fighting has resumed. And then, of course, Missy, there's this recent controversy over the conditions for those on board the aircraft carrier, the USS Abraham Lincoln, which is now docked in Thailand.
Thousands on board the USS Abraham Lincoln will finally get a rest this week after reports of horrific conditions and a dire mental health crisis on board.
Can Hegseth be blamed for things like that?
Yeah, I think he can be blamed for things like that. You know, when you are selling or contributing to the approval of a campaign that is designed as something that's supposed to be a matter of weeks and ends up being a matter of, you know, half a year or more, then it's inevitable that there are problems like this.
Yeah, and by the way, Hegseth, he's part of the reason that the US is at war in the first place, right? Because when others were urging Donald Trump not to go down this path, he was pushing for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think both he and General Keane have made the case that the U.S. military could succeed in eroding the conventional military capability of Iran, and they have to a certain extent, but that has no bearing to the strategic outcomes that the United States wanted to achieve in Iran. First and foremost, you know, abolishing the nuclear program, encouraging regime change, or now making sure that there's safe and reliable maritime commerce. So, you know, they can rightfully say, you know, we thought we would be able to degrade their conventional military power, and they have, but they haven't totally destroyed it. And that, as I say, it still doesn't make for a success on these more important strategic levels.
All right. Well, Missy, with Dan Driscoll gone, someone, of course, will need to fill the position of Army Secretary. Presumably, what, it will be someone Hegseth likes, that he thinks is like-minded. Is that how this will go from here?
Yeah, I mean, it's unclear whether or not how quickly they'll move to nominate somebody formally. It is possible that they could just have somebody there in an acting role for some period of time. The person who's the obvious candidate is this aide or advisor to Hegseth, Sean Parnell. He's the Pentagon spokesman and is an advisor on other issues, and he's also an Army veteran. But I don't think he has good chances to get confirmed, so they may be looking at other people, or they may just have somebody there in an acting capacity given the slowness of the Senate, and I think there are a lot of senators who feel burned by Hegseth.
All right. Well, Missy, as we said, Trump likes Hegseth. He thinks he's doing a great job. But what do you think? Will Hegseth actually survive as defense secretary over the longer term? Or could Trump do a Trump and get rid of him like he's done with others and kind of blame him for everything that's gone wrong in Iran?
Yeah, he can always do that. Yeah, no, I mean, Trump always has the ability to drop somebody immediately after praising them. Everything we hear is that he's happy with him right now, but that could change very easily if Trump feels like, you know, he would benefit from a change, or that he feels like the Iran war has gotten to a certain point where he needs an out. And, you know, obviously the midterms is a natural exit point for people.
Missy Ryan is a staff writer at The Atlantic. This episode was produced by Ilaria Brophy and Louise Milan. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is Sydney Peat. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily. We'll be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.